welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery.
Who could have guessed that?
Yeah, they're our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. And go up and talk to them. You need a tractor. I mean, everybody needs a tractor. If you got more than an acre of ground, you don't want to be out there with a shovel and a wheelbarrow. Go talk to them about a new John Deere green machine. They've got a really good inventory right now, and they do free deliveries and some great financing. So go up and see them. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake, or give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226, or catch them on the web. That's the interweb at papemachinery.com.
Bill's in timeout. Go to timeout, Bill.
All right, I'm sorry.
Penalty box.
Yeah.
Look at you over there. Officer Joe's like,
well, I just
in, want,
I,
in like heightened awareness.
Well, no, I just want the public to know that Bill has removed the recliner from my living room, and there is a John Deere riding lawnmower in there, and I sit on it and I watch a film from Safe Launch, and Janet and Ron are going to tell us about it.
I think they might have had a thing.
And it's
they're gone.
And it's
are
called,
they gone?
It's called Fly to Your Dreams, a Safe Launch film. If you want to find out about Safe Launch. Hello, pilot. Are you Charlie Ocean? Are you there? Ron?
That's not the... That's...
Roger. What's my vector?
Yes.
You know, ever since I got my drone license, I think I know something about flying now. And guess what? I don't know anything about flying.
That's your vector. Airplane, the ultimate movie. Yeah, we should be playing clips from that.
So tell us about the movie.
Not that film. No.
Tell us about Fly to Your Dreams, please.
Fly to Your Dreams.
Yeah,
yes.
Tell us about it.
Yeah.
So we've been working since March on this film, and it's just finished. It's a short film for youth, encouraging them to reach their dreams without any drugs or alcohol, and it's staged in a hangar. We filmed it in Santa Barbara, and we have a great director, and Ron even has a cameo in there. He's not a pilot this time, so you'll have to watch it yourselves to see it. There's a link on our website to Fly to Your Dreams, and we encourage everybody to take a quick watch. It's only about 3.5 minutes long. I think people might have that much time. And Ron, do you want to tell them where we're going to show that film and what might happen to it?
Well, some of you might have heard of the Experimental Aircraft Association. We developed a relationship with them, and they have a great program trying to get kids into aviation called Aero Educate. And so we agreed to produce this film for their benefit so they can show it to the Aero Educate students. And we also hope that it will migrate to their Young Eagle program, which you may have heard of. They've literally flown millions of kids on introductory flights all over the world. And before they take the kids flying, they give them a pre-flight brief, which is appropriate. And we're hoping that this little 3.5-minute film about the brain, the human brain, and its susceptibility to addiction will also be included in their pre-flight briefs. And, we're going out to Oshkosh at the end of the month to present to them and debut the Fume, the film Fume. So.
The Fumes?
Yeah.
No well, since, fumes with this film.
Well, since you brought that up, Janet is obviously incredibly busy and probably out flying around a lot doing all these events. And so her husband finally tracked her down. He heard she was going to be on the radio today, and he thought he'd call in and just say hi to her.
That's the only way you can talk to her.
Yeah, just that. That's how he finds her. He looks for her online. You know, where is Janet today? Is she on the radio? Maybe I could get a quick moment in.
Yeah.
Hi, Randy.
Well, that might be true.
Hi.
Hey, Randy, how are you? You've got the radio.
Yeah, okay. I just turned the radio off. Can you hear me now?
We can.
Okay, very good. So I was just going to weigh in. As you know, you guys are talking about that. It turns out that I'm the mayor of Santa Barbara. So I know a little bit about the marijuana thing and the revenues. And I know Ron and Janet want to get off the marijuana topic at some point, but I thought since we're talking about revenue expectations, I could weigh in on that.
Yes, please do.
Okay. So just let me know.
Fire away. What are they promising? What does it deliver? As far as you've learned.
Well, so the big thing was the big thing where we really put our mark on the state is in cultivation. We have the most licenses in the state. The shortfall is 2/3 of projected revenues in the county. So right now our enforcement expenses exceed revenues. The city itself was one of the first ones in the tri-counties that was in for medical marijuana when that little ruse took hold. And I was part of the team that tried to help write the first ordinances, and my suggestions went down in flames because they involved things like forensic audits and other controls like they would normally like with alcohol licensing. And so we have no really great way to protect or to audit or to tell what the sales are and what the receipts should be. It's all cash, and it's pretty upside down in terms of all that. So I don't know what these folks are doing. I know a lot are bailing out of the business because they've overproduced. So I guess that's the good news. But the bad news is they've ruined a city called Carpinteria just to the south of us.
Randy, I remember Carpinteria well, passed through many times from my life as L.A. County Sheriff Sergeant. And nationally, Randy, the dollar amount is for every dollar taken in by cannabis by a city or county, the county's spending $4.50 in hidden costs, and that's hospitalization, homelessness, further drug addiction, crime around dispensaries, reduced real estate values around dispensaries. It's all being track now, and you're right, we do not have a handle on the money that's coming in. We looked at Siskiyou County, and we had to get forensic DEA auditors to take a look, and the only way we could determine how much money was going out of the county in cannabis money was to look at what the central banks were taking in. They couldn't track the actual cannabis money itself, but just the flow of money around the United States to be able to determine, and it was in the multiple of billions of dollars.
It's insane.
And the city and county don't get that money.
I was trying to create a manifest for shipping, just the way you, when you ship alcohol, there's a manifest to let you know exactly where the origin and then where the bombing was and the bonding and all those things. There's a way to track the tax revenues for alcohol. And boy, I got a lot of pushback on that. And even though it's not legal federally, one of our biggest producers, our most famous guy, brags about how popular his brand is in Florida now. I mean, he's saying it out loud, and nobody's blinking an eye. It's insane.
Our legislature is doing everything it can to make it so it can be trafficked interstate, because 80 to 90% of the domestically made marijuana in California goes out of state. So we're just keeping between 10 and 20% here for local usage.
Right. These guys won't be happy until it's part of the school's hot lunch program. I mean, it's you know, where we started with the quote unquote medical, and then we're moved into, which medical doesn't really exist. I mean, except in name these days. It's crazy. You're right about the revenues, but we don't have. I mean, we can just kind of project. Like I said, with alcohol, because I had a restaurant. I was on call retail, and that, you know, every dime of every bottle was tracked from the beginning of the seed all the way out to the truck, all the way to the customer. That's what I was trying to create with marijuana, and boy, that did not fly.
Well, seed to sale collapsed almost immediately. There was no way. They said every plant was going to be barcoded. They told us how it was all going to, we'd be able to see it from one end to the other. None of that's turned out to be true. Randy, I'm interested, as mayor of your city, how well educated do you feel that your fellow council members are in marijuana, to the extent that they understand the health risks, the cost to the community, versus whatever they think that the community will benefit from? I haven't had yet somebody be able to tell me, by the way, the true benefits of bringing more drugs into a community. Other than I hear the words social justice and equity, that stuff.
There we go. Now you know my counsel. You just named him right there. Here's a couple of problems. But we went to district elections. District elections brought down the age of the average city councils around the state tremendously. So basically, I'm sitting up there with my children. And they are so influenced politically. And, you know, the party in power in California really wants this to go forward and be legal and be a residence source and be whatever they want it to be. And you see the major players in Sacramento like Scott Wiener that are pushing to legalize every kind of intoxicant and expand the ways you can sell it, the hours you can sell it, all the things. And my council buys into all that stuff. So it's frustrating for me. I am the Lone Ranger up there. And, you know, they even talk, well, gosh, what if we get a consumption lounge? Wouldn't that help revenues? I go, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's just get everybody baked downtown and then stick them in vehicles and let them drive around for a while.
They want a what? A consumption lounge where everybody, are we talking like opium dens?
But that's precisely what it is. I mean, one of my old partners was talking about, if you can imagine the formation and the founders in the early days, you know, instead of sitting around taverns where a lot of the revolutionary ideas and things were formed, they were sitting around smoking weed. I mean, but where would America be today? You know, not that alcohol is a great thing. Alcohol is obviously a very damaging substance. But the idea, you don't smoke weed unless you want to change your reality. You change it right now. And it's a super big promise. That, you know, I grew up in, you know, I graduated from college in 76. I was out of UCSB. I've seen marijuana before, trust me. But as you guys mentioned earlier, that was a different animal back then. Very different animal.
Randy, what is it like to be married to a person who is all consumed with drug education like your wife and is flying all over the world?
It's a good word for that. Well, they're super passionate. And my interest, because one of my major problems every day is our homeless population out on the streets. When I see these 18-year-olds walking around baked at the gills, and you realize that 8 years before they were in the fourth grade, I realize that's what makes Jen and Ron's thing so valuable, that they're trying to address those fourth and fifth graders, because that's where we got to start. The big deal. And I would love to amortize this population by having the next generation just not show up out there. But it's a pipe dream, but, you know, it's a real thing. And, you know, the idea that we're going to house everybody and that's the solution is also, you know, not true.
I think what a lot of people fail to realize, and I hear this a lot, Randy, when I go to talk, and we're going to be speaking to the Yreka City Council here next month, and they've already taken the $100,000 to put in a marijuana depository that can be delivered from, which was the money that was held out by.
But it's not going to be a commercial.
No, but it's not.
Oh no, that's what they tell you.
Right. So we understand that what Newsom's doing to the city. And did your city take the $100,000 under SB 1186?
No.
You decided not to?
No, I actually proposed as an alternative because I knew we have a total of 3 retail dispensaries and 3 medical dispensaries, but the medical ones went away. But I did actually propose something.
Wasn't that
like
funny,
that
Randy, when it became recreational, all of a sudden all the medical ones went away?
Yeah, all of a sudden it wasn't medicine anymore. Poof. But, you know, the idea of doing this repository called like a fulfillment center or whatever, because we have a very robust underground delivery system. Well, it's not even underground. You can look right in the local paper and get the number to get, you know, call in for your weed. And, you know, all the black markets function with impunity now that we have this legalization. Then it actually aided in the distribution, which also aided in the fact that they overproduce. But the idea of doing that, my dream was to say, okay, if we have it in one central clearinghouse, maybe then we can track it. But once my ideas about shipping and manifests and tracking went away, I thought, well, that's not going to work either. And the fact that the government is trying to subsidize these things, what other businesses have we ever laid out the red carpet for like that? I mean, it's insane.
Where do you see Santa Barbara in your future, Randy, as far as drugs and your community? What do you think is going to happen? What's your crystal ball?
Well, I think you're starting to see a bit of a pushback because people, and I bang this gong all the time, the people you see out there on the street aren't there because rents are too high. They're out there because they are they're addicted. Addiction shouldn't be a stigma. It's a disease. We need to treat it that way. And you can't just throw these people in warehouses and expect that to go away. So my whole thing is I want to help mitigate the homeless population on the street by going after these addictive substances and, you know, the illicit ones. And that's where we're at. Now, Scott Wiener's battling this back the other way. And everybody sees our big producers down in Carpinteria like they're, you know, like they're heroes. But if you drive through Carp now, and every time I do this, I know why, I never remember, but I go, oh my God, I hit a skunk. Oh, no, I didn't. I'm in Carpinteria. I mean, you can smell them from the highway driving that bad. So.
I used to love the banana plantation there going through that area, and I bet it's not there anymore. I bet it's a marijuana plantation.
Well, the banana plantation is, but all the cut flower places went away. There was a large, very large Dutch population of cut flower growers, and they got out-competed by South America. They sold all their properties to the pot guys. And these guys went crazy, but now the town of Carpinteria is a beautiful, bucolic little beach town. I mean, they're just a few hundred yards away from the local high school. And you know, the school district's going nuts with that down there. So, but the way I see the population is this. I think people are starting to push back on this weed for everyone. They're also seeing the market die off. It didn't produce the revenue they said it would. They're seeing pets being poisoned by gummies, which actually upsets them more than watching kids go to the ER. So, because the dogs die, the kid just gets his stomach pumped. But somehow that's worse. I don't know. Crazy people. But we're starting to see that more and more. But as I go around to schools and talk to kids and talk to groups, I actually am hopeful. Because I really think a lot of these kids are understanding the message. And they're, you know, not all of them, but I think we're making a dent. And I think it's a good thing. So, but that's where I'm focused on, you know, the kids, school kids. I think that's, you know, when, once we get up in the 18-year-olds, we kind of lost the battle. But
Randy, we are inundated with the criminal growers up here, the Hmong, Chinese.
Hold that thought, because that launches us into a different spot, and we have to take a really quick break. So we will have to come back with Randy, who is Janet's husband, and we still have Ron, Captain Ron, trapped in there, or Commander Ron, I forget. He is Commander Ron.
Commander.
I was incorrect. And we'll be back with you. This is We the People, and you can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.com.
U.S.
It's the guts and it's the glory. 100 stripes, 100 stories. It's the pledge of allegiance on the 4th of July. It's them handwritten letters from home. It's them sleepless nights alone. It's his newborn baby he left with his wife. Mr. Red, White, and Blue, lead.
This is Officer Joe with your marijuana safety message. Did you know that the marketing of marijuana is a misogynistic and racist activity? That's right. Most marijuana corporations are owned and controlled by rich, fat cat white corporate types, and most dispensaries are placed into depressed communities of color. These communities can least afford the chains of drug addiction and corporate greed. For more information about marijuana, please visit sources like ALM, Americans Against Legalizing Marijuana, at www.aalm.info. And remember, let's be careful out there.
Ooh, fly high. All you gotta do is reach the sky. Ooh, fly high. All you gotta do is reach the sky. Don't you know that anything that you want to be, anything you dream of or you want to achieve, don't you know that you can be anything you want? The world is there waiting for you, so what you waiting for? So fly, you can reach for the sky, you can aim for the stars, just believe you can fly. Rise, rise, all you need is to try, there's no limit to all you can do. You fly, 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 yeah, yeah.
Don't you know that anything that you want to do, anything you dream of, you know it's up to you. You can reach the highest, you can fly up above. Take care of your health and you can do what you love. So fly, you can reach for the sky, you can aim for the stars, just believe you can fly.
Launch theme song, Janet. Since you emailed it to
yes,
me,
the commander is on deck.
Yes. So tell us about the song. Uh-oh, somebody's getting fired.
Ooh.
One sec.
Said I called the general quarters, but
air raid.
Somebody's on cable.
It's a great mix.
So I want you to know, Ron, that I just sent Janet a video of all of us dancing here in the studio.
Well, we weren't really, because we didn't know we were supposed to be. He was kind of acting like a lunatic, and we were staring at him.
So is Randy still out there? Randy, come in.
Yep, still here.
Yeah, Randy. So you know, I'm sure you hear this a lot, because I hear this from city council members many times when I present to them, and they say things like, "Well, it's just marijuana." I can't tell you how many times in my life I've heard that. And I want you to know that we're tracking now custodies, and we're finding that they are popping positive for fentanyl exposure, and they deny any fentanyl use, and they're just using marijuana. So we know now definitively that marijuana is getting treated by fentanyl by MS-13 and some of the other street gangs. And we also know that the same pipeline that feeds the United States with drugs outgoing, that pipeline that comes back, it's the same pipeline that's bringing fentanyl, meth, heroin, and guns back into our communities. So that's what's happening up here in Northern California, and I'm assuming those businesses that are flying under the radar down there are probably doing the same thing. So, Randy, my question to you is, what gangs are you seeing involved in the marijuana trades in Central California, if you know?
Right. I can't say for sure. Right now we're dealing with a real big inundation of illegal food vendors coming up from L.A. on the streets, and there's rumors about them, but I can't say that's exactly true. I'm sure human trafficking, but I'm not so sure about the drug thing. So I don't know about the gangs per se, but I do know, it's interesting, I was just reading a story about the mafia in the 1930s, and once Prohibition ended, how they got very interested in addiction and narcotics, because they knew they could get people hooked, and they could have basically runners and slaves and all the things that they needed to do what they're doing. I think the parallel exists today, 100%. I think there are people who are used as runners, as mules, that they have either indentured people, you know, doing it, or people that are just addicts and can't do anything else. So I don't know gangs per se. I don't really, this really a big presence here in, at least in Santa Barbara County, there are some. But we saw a little bit of M1 up in the Santa Maria area, I think the sheriff will probably speak to that more. But we've kept the lid on it so far, but it's
it's still pretty scary.
Have you seen an affectation of our open borders and migrants flowing into California? We see them here. We track them as they get off on the Greyhound bus. They get on our Intermountain bus here, and they go directly into the Groves, and they disappear for the summer trafficked in there. Are you seeing any of that kind of traffic coming through your county now?
I haven't, but I talking to the mayor of Santa Maria, she believes that she has seen it up there a lot more pronounced. And I don't know what's happening in the South County with Carpinteria. I can't imagine there isn't some of that going on down there, but nothing that I'm particularly aware of.
Wow. Well, how much fun is that not? Thanks for calling us, Randy. I hope you and Janet get to...
I just wanted to weigh in once you guys are talking about the finances and the disappointment. So
yeah,
I'll get off now because I know Ron and Janet really want to talk about the world beyond marijuana as well.
No worries. Well, thanks for that. And, so if your city is thinking it's a magical dream, get a hold of Santa Barbara and you can see what kind of yeah. information they've got. Thank you very much.
Well, I think if the truth...
Thank you.
Thanks, Randy.
I think if the truth were known, I don't know that there's any cities out there that are really benefiting at all from...
Well, certainly not in the way that everybody's... that they all say.
Yeah, exactly.
So... I was adding a picture to the website, one of them that was on your email that you sent, Janet, and it has the plane in flight with all the painting on the sides and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of glossed over that at the beginning a little bit. You know, Ron mentioned, you know, you guys let the kids, paint the plane and all that, but talk a little bit more about what the interaction is with the kids and the parents, like at air shows and things like that. I mean, school's great, but kids are there by themselves, and then they go home and maybe don't talk about, you know, if there is drug education. They don't talk about it with their parents. But here you have, you know, the family all there at the same time at some kind of an air show.
They're all hearing the same message.
Yeah, it's kind of awesome.
But I would like to say one quick thing.
Yeah.
That when it comes to the kids in school, you know, Randy's not wrong that, you know, we need to be educating them. But our family is pretty tied up in education, and we know that what is taught or what is tested is what is taught. So if it's not on a standardized test, it doesn't get the time and the commitment from the schools to teach it. So literacy and numeracy are where our public schools are largely failing. And so they're putting all of their effort into that. And so science, health, social studies, civics, all the things that you think that you might have learned about in school, there just isn't that much time for that. And so getting these health messages into schools is very difficult, even if the teachers and the administrators wanted it. So, you know, there are a lot of impediments to getting the brain education as it relates to substance use into any kind of a curriculum. But the other part that is critical to know is that when you're growing up, your brain develops back to front. And so you've got your brain stem and the part of your brain that controls your emotions is your amygdala, which is in the middle of your brain. And then your frontal lobe, where you make these critical decisions about what happens if I do something, you know, the if-then questions and answers, that happens much later in the front. And so when kids are in school, they're already hardwired to be socialized because that's how we stay alive as humans, is by being in relationship. So what they learn in their frontal lobe is secondary to what they already know emotionally. And so it has to be reinforced over and over again, and it has to, and the students and the children need to be supported by the adults until that frontal lobe is fully formed. And society needs to act like an aircraft carrier, and, you know, we all need to be focused on the launch and the recovery. Hopefully the kids are going to, you know, leave home and go to school, and they're going to come home, and they're going to be healthy and great, and we're going to embrace them. So, Ron, I'll let you talk about Flights Above Addiction since you are the pilot and the plane owner.
Yes, that is true. I am, and I'm the one who interacts with the kids and the parents the most. I don't know how I got that job. I guess because Janet likes to paint on the plane and help the kids paint, being an artist. So I stand out at our table by the plane, and we've done this 64 times, by the way, which is a lot. So we've interacted with thousands and thousands of kids and parents. And I really think parents are the key. We learned many, many years ago that despite everything, parents still have the most influence over their kids. So basically we trick the parents into talking to me and listening to what I have to say, and the kids as well. So they come up to the table and say, what's going on here? How can we paint the plane? You know, something like that. And I tell them, I'm the only crazy pilot in the world who lets kids paint on my plane. So we have them take a pledge. And I hand the pledge to the parents. I don't make them raise their hand and take the pledge. But the kids take the pledge. And if you've seen the pictures on the website, it's really cute when they do that. And hopefully educational. And then I talk to them about a great life being like a great flight. And I've had thousands of great flights. And want you to have a great life, too. There's three things you have to do. Number one, you have to get trained for it. Number two, you have to figure out exactly where you're going in life. Don't fly around in circles. Go straight for the target. But most importantly, keep your brain healthy. And that's the message.
I think that's cool. It's very, very different, and it isn't the same. I mean, is there anybody else out there doing this? Just out of curiosity.
No.
What's the age group or common age group of these kids that are involved?
Unfortunately, they tend to be on the younger side. Our target age group is going to be 10 to 12, 14.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that are most attracted to painting on the plane tend to be female. They tend to be on the young side. But I tell the females to talk to those stupid boys and, make sure they don't get into drugs or alcohol. There's a new alcohol one out. Speaking of alcohol, I'm trying to give alcohol fair play on the show. It's called 99, and we have a display board that Janet put together. It's got something like 36 bottles of this stuff, and it's single-serve size, sold at liquor stores all over town. And it's called 99, which means it's 99 proof, and it's 3.5 ounces of fruit-flavored alcohol, every kind of fruit and candy and peanut butter flavor that you can imagine. I find these laying on the road all over the place. I really don't think adults are drinking these things and tossing them on the side of the road. I really don't think that's what's happening. But, that's a gateway drug.
Sure.
Just as marijuana is. And it's readily available. It's sold at liquor stores and gas stations. And, again, getting back to public policy, what are we thinking? What are we doing? Yes, the business of America is business, but not every business. And we certainly don't have to parade this stuff and advertise it in front of our kids.
Yeah.
If I'm an adult and I want to drink some alcohol, I know where to find it. I don't need to advertise this, a football game or baseball game or, it's inappropriate. It's inappropriate.
Or a 420
so
festival.
Something that we've said from the beginning is that this education needs to be constant and consistent. When you're in a school setting, of course, it needs to be a comprehensive program, and that's certainly what is missing. There's a lot of one-offs. But when it comes to parenting, most parents understand that if you want to instill a good habit in your child's behavior, and particularly for their health, you remind them. I don't think anybody would be successful at brushing their teeth if their parents hadn't told them to do it every day and, once before they go to bed. And This conversation to protect your brain needs to be extremely regular. And I feel great about these young families with their 5-, 6-, 7-year-olds coming to these air shows and engaging with us, because the sooner we can get to the parents, the more likely they will be successful with this message. Because as soon as kids go into the junior high or middle school, not only are the kids more susceptible to peer pressure, but the parents, unbeknownst to them, are also victims of peer pressure. And pretty soon, you know, one parent is extending the curfew or having sleepovers or having co-ed sleepovers or letting kids drink at the house or whatever. And it just, it becomes a contagious disease, like we said at the beginning. It's a contagion, and the parents need to know earlier so that they can know why they're protecting their kids from substances. If they don't want them to have a problem later in life, they want them to have a great education, they want them to be successful, this is really important.
Yeah, this isn't a topic you can be half-hearted on, because you're really fighting an uphill battle with peer pressure, with the media, in a lot of cases with our cities and towns and our state government. They're really pushing this hard. We have to take a really quick break. We will be back with our guests, Ron and Janet. Janet's husband, Randy, has gone back home to wait for Janet, so he's not here anymore. You can find us at We the People. Website is WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Happy
birthday, America. It's the 4th of July. I get to wake up in your freedom, but sometimes I wonder why. Seem like everybody's pissing on the red, white, and blue. Happy birthday, America, whatever's left of you. You were the darling when you saved the world, WW 1 and 2. France would just be part of Germany now, if it hadn't been for you. They burn your flag in their city streets more than anybody else. Happy birthday, America. It's the 4th of July.
This is Officer Joe with your marijuana message. Don't buy the corporate marijuana lies whose end game is to not pay any taxes. California has failed to control the grows. Dispensaries are selling out the back door as well as selling other illicit substances. Do we really need the damage to the environment, suicide, schizophrenia, hyperemesis, cardiac events in elderly users, drug driving crashes, genetic damage, pulmonary damage, neonatal low birth weight, and lost IQ for our youth? No, we don't. Remember, let's be careful out there.
Singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
Okay, in retrospect, it was probably a violation of the entire program here to talk about feeding beer to our horses, but you get the point.
Country.
Yeah, you know, doing some
good old country.
Good America songs, right? On the 4th of July weekend. If people listen to this at another time, you'll be like, are these guys on drugs? What's going on? They're talking about drugs. Are they taking them? No, it's July 2nd, so, you know, we're kind of going with the American theme.
Hey, Janet, I was curious. At your air shows, when you speak to the parents about what's going on with pot and the damage it does to kids, do you give them any handouts to take home and read and kind of give them something to remember?
We have a brochure that is all about the science of the brain that is focused on the One Choice Initiative information. And okay. So I think that the majority of them will take at least a glance at that before they put it in the round file. And if they're smart parents, they'll read it all the way through. It's really terrific because it shows them that whatever drug their child starts with, it increases their chance that they will use another one of the drugs. The numbers are phenomenal. So I'll make sure that it's on our website, but if you go to onechoiceprevention.org, you'll also see that information. But yes, we do give them a handout for them to take away and look over and, okay. You know, it may be above those young kids' abilities to, you know, understand completely, but kids are smart and, you know, parents need to give them a chance and it doesn't matter, you know, don't talk down to them. Tell them the facts and they'll rise to it.
Right, right. Yeah, we found the same thing in our business. We don't hand out a lot of brochures anymore because, you know, people are interested at the time and they take the brochures and then they go home and it ends up in the trash. And they're expensive. I mean, it costs a lot of money to print that stuff. But one thing we've done is we have gone digital. They can, if they have a cell phone, they can, you know, snap a picture of a barcode and that gives them pretty much everything they need, and I would imagine that technology is out there for you as well to, you know, give these parents more information on the dangers of drug use in their kids. So, just a thought.
Well, I think that we've got a couple, like Ron mentioned, we've got a display of those little mini alcohol bottles that look like candy. And we also have a display of the actual candies, of the cannabis candies and snacks. And both parents and kids are all surprised. And when we talk to them and say, you know, this is toxic, it looks like candy, but you want to be very, very careful about what you eat or what you drink, and you should always ask your parent if it's safe. Because, you know, a lot of the parents are very surprised. You know,
right.
Most people at air shows are not using those products. Some are, but most of them are not. And so they don't know that those products even exist. They don't know that there's cannabis in the package that looks like Oreo cookies or Doritos. They don't, you know, we look at these things all the time and we assume that other people know it, and we're absolutely wrong. They don't. So the parents are usually grateful that we're telling them and their children this, because then the parents, I hear them say, you know, yeah, that's right. You always want to check with us or check with an adult and make sure, and you always want to read the package, you know. But like Ron said, this is pretty negligent that we're putting drugs in food and then we're advertising it to kids in colorful packaging and with little cartoon animals and characters.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and make it font that
looks
benign.
Just looks like candy.
Just
you know,
like candy.
What's wrong with candy?
How could that go wrong?
And Janet, in 30 seconds, those kids can be online, and you can order your cannabis nationally and have it delivered to your home. So they steal the parents' credit card, and they get into the cannabis buying clubs, and they can buy it on Snapchat or wherever, and they can bypass dispensaries.
So you can buy it. You can buy marijuana online and ship it across state lines and.
Of course not. You can't, but the USPS can't stop it, and UPS can't stop it, and FedEx can't stop it. So it comes across state lines all the time. We just don't see it. We don't know about it.
But the addiction for profit industry is the new evil empire, and it's onshore.
Yeah.
You know, I fought the Cold War, and Reagan famously said the Soviet Union was the evil empire. Well, we've got an evil empire that's prospering at our kids' expense right here on shore. And I'm going to fight it. I'm going to fight it till the end.
Well, and I've always maintained that the people who are in charge of making policy about all of this come from an era when marijuana specifically was very low dose. Our parents all told us it was a gateway drug and that if we smoked pot, we were going to be hooked on heroin. And that was a very popular message back then, which actually mostly wasn't true. That didn't... I mean, that just wasn't happening at that time.
But it is now.
And so the bad part is, though, we grew up, we didn't, you know, do those things. So even the kids who did smoke pot, they mostly didn't turn out to be derelicts back then. It just wasn't powerful enough. And so a lot of the decision makers are kind of blowing off those kinds of warnings, kind of like, oh, yeah, my dad told me that. It wasn't true then. It isn't true now. Because
you guys want to hear about something you can't do on drugs?
Something you can't do on drugs?
Yes.
Tie your shoes?
land on an aircraft carrier?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure land on an aircraft carrier is on that list and off the choices.
Yeah, I had a teacher at the Truckee Air Show, which we just got back from, asked me, and she was pretty smart as a teacher. I think she had a bunch of kids with her. She said, "Tell us something about, you know, flying an aircraft carrier, or whatever. What was the scary? We like scary things." She said, "Give me a scary story." And fortunately, you know, I've never crashed or anything like that. So I did have a story for it. If we've got time, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I flew mostly off the Midway because I was based in the Philippines. I flew carrier on board delivery. So we were on our way to Mombasa, Africa. Ended up spending 100 days in the Indian Ocean during the hostage crisis in Iran. But backing up, we made a port call in Perth, and we couldn't dock, so we were anchored out. And the captain asked me to go in and pick up a television crew from Perth because they wanted to see the ship. I said, "Yeah, okay, no problem." So I flew from the carrier to Perth, loaded these guys and all their equipment up. And if you've seen carrier landings, you know that they're basically controlled crashes.
Yeah, they're pretty rough.
Yeah, they're rough, and they're supposed to be that way because you're hitting a specific spot on a pitching deck, and you want to catch the wire.
Right.
So you get a 1, 2, or 3 wire on the Midway. Other carriers had a fourth wire. Midway was smaller, so they only had 3. So I'm flying back to the carrier. No problem. White caps everywhere. You know, I've landed rough seas before. No problem. Landed in bad weather, night, no problem. I get on the ball, called the Fresnel lens, the ball, and the thing's doing, the back of the ship is doing figure eight, and the ball is just hopping up and down.
Oh, boy.
And I've got this television crew in the back, and I checked in with the landing safety officer. I said, basically, WTF, and he said, "Don't worry about the ball. He says, I'll talk to you in." Okay.
It's encouraging.
Oh, yeah. What could go wrong?
Yeah. Long story short, I caught a 3-wire, but because when I landed, the deck was pitching downward so violently, it was the softest landing I'd ever made on a carrier. And the television crew probably thought, "Wow, that guy must be good."
They were like, "Well, listen, what's everybody talking about? It's not so
bad."
I had no idea
because there's no windows in the plane, right?
And you caught the last wire?
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
Oh, and they're sitting in the back of the plane, but there are no windows. Oh, I never even thought about that.
And they're facing backwards as well, right, Ron?
Yeah, they all face backwards.
Oh, that must be tough. Wow.
It's probably better they weren't looking out a window.
It really was. It really was. Probably better they weren't looking at me either.
Oh, my.
But anyway, I couldn't have done that on drugs.
No.
Yeah, you can barely do it not on drugs, I'm sure. Like, that takes all you've got. There are just so many things in life that require our full attention. You know, there's just so much stuff these days. The world's, you know, complicated. There's a lot going on. Just look at the... Here in our town, they moved to Costco near one of the big freeway off ramps, and they put in one of those roundabout things, and it's a 2-lane roundabout, and all you have to do is go through that thing one time, and you realize there are a lot of people that either haven't been there before, don't have the vaguest idea how to read street signs, are on drugs, or just, you know, maybe just got their license. But adding drugs to our driving, especially our driving these days, is just, and then look at our jobs, you know, look at all the things we need people to do that aren't getting done.
Scary thing, you know, the job crisis just doesn't seem to be going away.
Well, it can't go away as long as, I mean, there's shortages. I know in our industry, it took over a year to find somebody qualified for this one particular job opening. We had lots of people apply, but the minute you said, hey, it's you got to get a drug test before we go to the next phase, they never came back. And it took forever.
I hear that over and over again.
Yeah, and it's in every industry. So it's a problem.
Well, I think it's cool that you guys have taken this a different direction. And how many air shows are there? Like out in the world, like how many of these can you go to? Like
there are hundreds of there are hundreds of them. And the interesting thing we learned a few years ago is that there are more people that go to air shows than professional football games.
Oh, no kidding!
Oh, no fooling!
Huh. Yeah. Well, that's cool. You get to talk to a lot more families that way. That's awesome.
Of course, it's a lot cheaper to go to an air show.
Well, that's probably true too. And then you don't have and you don't have the sisters of indiscretion and nakedness or whatever they are doing something creepy with your kids there. Well, congrats to you guys, and we want to thank you for coming on with us today. And the archive will be up later this afternoon so that people can share this with their friends if they've just tuned in. And we look forward to chatting with you soon. Officer Joe, thank you for coming in.
All right.
Bill,
thanks for coming
on. Thanks for asking such great questions.
Oh,
you're a machine.
Oh, yeah.
Happy 4th of July, everybody. You can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
I will be strong. Yeah.